This is a special edition of the Bigger Pockets Podcast, show 421.
You have your own path. You have your own path. You have your own path. We all have our own paths. And we have to figure out how that path is going to work. And there's not any single person that is out there that's going to tell you this is what you have to do. You have to figure that out for yourself.
You're listening to Bigger Pockets Radio, simplifying real estate for investors large and small. If you're here looking to learn about real estate investing without all the hype, you're in the right place. Stay tuned and be sure to join the millions of others who have benefited from BiggerPockets.com, your home for real estate investing online.
What's going on, everyone? It's Brandon Turner, host of the Bigger Pockets Podcast, here with a very special show because we are bringing back someone that you probably have no idea who it is if you haven't been listening to the show in the last year. Welcome back to the Seashed, Mr. Josh Dorkin.
Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah. And of course, David Green's still here as well.
What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys. Thanks for remembering me.
I mean, this just, it doesn't feel right, man. Dave, yeah. You're talking about my lack of relevance. Brandon is...
Yeah, making fun of nobody knows you.
It's just, it's awful.
Yeah, it's been a few years. So for those who are brand new to the show, let me give a quick rundown. So Josh Dorkin started Bigger Pockets back in, like, I don't know, 1912, and he built it in his basement for like 45 years before he finally wised up and decided to hire somebody smart and good looking and talented.
And then I fired them.
And then he hired the guy. Then he hired me. And so early on, I came on at Bigger Pockets. Josh and I, one of the first things we did is we launched a little show called the Bigger Pockets Podcast, which do you remember our goal was like, within the first year,
we wanted to be in the listeners.
I said I want to be in the top 100 of all business podcasts within the first year, and it took like 12 seconds, and
it was pretty fast.
It's been a ride since then. Yeah, so man. Anyway, yeah. Thanks for starting BP.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been fun, and I'm excited to be back. Last show we did was Jesse Itzler. January of last year.
Yeah, that's been a while.
Yeah, was it last year or 2 years ago?
I don't know. It's been a while. I think it's 2 years ago, actually.
It's been a minute.
I think so, yeah, because I don't think you've been on since BPCon last year.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Speaking of BPCon last year.
Yes.
Today is actually episode. We are going to be revisiting Josh's speech from last year, BPCon, in a little bit. First, we're going to chat with Josh.
It was a keynote. It wasn't just a speech.
It was your keynote. Sorry. I mean,
you know, give me some credit.
All right. Your keynote. I love how Josh is the keynote at his own conference. Whatever. You know, we're not gonna pick on you for that.
I didn't plan the conference. I was invited.
You were invited.
The keynote guest. Yes. It was very nice.
This is true.
You were recruited to give a keynote speech. You were pursued, yes. Highly sought after. Right. I just got up there and talked. Josh, he gave a keynote. Yeah. That needs to be shared.
There you go. Thank you, David. David's getting a bonus.
Yes. All right. Well, before we get into today's show, we're going to find out what Josh has been up to. We're going to talk a little bit about COVID. We're going to talk about his kind of what the crazy last year has been for him. Let's get to today's quick tip. All right. Today's quick tip is brought to you by Josh. Josh, take it away.
Way to put me on the spot. Holy Moses. Today's quick tip is... if you're a Bigger Pockets listener and you have not yet created an account on Bigger Pockets, because there's a lot of you guys who just love the show and are out here listening, trying to pick up information, I highly recommend creating an account on Bigger Pockets so you can start networking and getting access to everything that Bigger Pockets provides, because there's a lot of you who don't actually know that Bigger Pockets is not just a podcast. It's also a website and community. So
let me check it out. Let me ask you, Josh.
Yeah.
Why should somebody create an account on Bigger Pockets? What does that do for them?
Oh, wow. Well, you know.
Do we send them money? Give them massages? What?
I don't know what you do. But Dave here certainly gives massages. Yes.
He's got a good one.
You have to just send him a friend request.
Yep.
Wait, no, this isn't Tinder.
No, just swipe right. Is that we should be a swipe left. Right, swipe. Yeah, we should have that option on BP. Yep. Oh, they've only done 3 deals. Swipe left. Oh, burr. Swipe right.
So you would create an account so that you can actually start to network with people. It's amazing how many people over the years have created accounts, started to make friends, colleagues, connections, build their business on the platform. It's not just about observing conversations that are happening in the community, but you know, to be able to engage, you actually can start to build your own personal brand. And by creating your own personal brand, obviously, you can start to build your business as well. So,
yeah. Have you noticed that theme lately? I mean, David specifically, because, you know, we've been hosting this podcast now. I feel like the last like dozen guests we've interviewed have all said, like, somehow we've gotten into networking and your personal brand with like every single person, pretty much. Everyone just keeps talking about the importance of networking, getting out there, talking to people, getting to know people. Have you noticed that too?
Yeah. And we talked about this briefly when we had our last guest on, the author of Essentialism. When Greg was discussing, or we kind of brought up the point that technology is trying to push people out of real estate. It's essentially trying to replace people in some form, but relationships are not something that can ever be replaced. So the people that are doing very good in real estate right now have double, tripled, quadrupled down on relationship, their integrity, understanding what they're doing, coming up with win-win solutions for other people, and they're drawing opportunities to them. And the people that sort of had a transactional-based approach, they're just being out-transacted by technology.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, we're talking about Greg McKeon. That's an episode. I think that still comes out in a few weeks. I don't think that's been released yet. I don't think. I'm not sure. Kevin decides when these episodes
come out. He's awesome.
Either way. Yeah. Great episode. Nice. So, very cool stuff. So yeah, that is today's not so quick tip. That was good.
I'm a little rusty,
you know, whatever. You're bringing it back.
Way to put me on the spot.
Remember when you had to pay to get a lead's phone number? It was like the dark ages until Deal Machine made skip tracing a thing of the past. Now, with your Deal Machine plan, you'll get unlimited access to phone numbers and contact information for no extra cost. That's right. Get high quality, reliable information trusted by leading financial institutions, all fully compliant with the federal Do Not Call list. Explore over 150 data points, including age, gender, marital status, occupation, and a ton more. Trust me, this is the data you need for off-market deals. With new filters, people flags, and color-coded phone numbers, lead management just got a ton easier. Ready to step up your investing game? Sign up for a Deal Machine plan today and gain immediate access to this unlimited treasure trove of contact information and phone numbers. Just head to dealmachine.com/BP. Transform your lead generation and deal-making strategies with Deal Machine. Sign up today and start exploring the unlimited possibilities at dealmachine.com/BP.
What's better than low money down? No money down. Now through Rent to Retirement, you can buy a brand new construction turnkey rental property for no money down. Wait, hold on. This can't be right. I need to double check with Zach, Rent to Retirement CEO.
Oh, hey, Rob.
Zach, how the heck are you selling turnkey rental properties for $0 down?
It's not that complicated, Rob. Rent to Retirement has new construction properties up to $20,000 below retail prices. We also have investor loans with rates as low as 3.99% and down payment options as low as 5% or sometimes even zero money down. You get all the cash flow, appreciation, and equity for as little as zero money down. That's an infinite return.
Hold on, wait, let me get on this before we tell it to the whole Bigger Pockets audience.
Just head to renttoretirement.com. That's renttoretirement.com or text REI to 33777. That's REI to 33777 to learn more about how you can get started investing with no money down today.
Get your next new construction property at a steep discount or invest with no money down. Head to renttoretirement.com today.
Every lender loves to talk about how easy it is to get a mortgage. Then when it's time to fund your next deal, they ask for your full financials, your blood type, your mother's famous spaghetti recipe, and a map to the fountain of youth. Sound familiar? You got all that handy, right? Why not switch to a lender who actually makes qualifying for a loan easy? A lender like Host Financial. Host Financial takes the tedious tax returns, endless W-2s, and time-consuming financial requests out of the picture. Their light doc and common sense underwriting guidelines mean frictionless transactions every time. You'll even be able to use the actual or projected income of the short-term or long-term rental you're looking to purchase or pull equity out of. That's what lending built for investors looks like. So take the next step and grow your portfolio faster. Visit hostfinancial.com to request a quote in as fast as 60 seconds, which is faster than this ad. If not, it's pretty close. That's host, H-O-S-T, financial.com. Again, that's host, H-O-S-T, financial.com.
And now let's get into today's show. What I want to go and start with here is, Josh, the last 2 years, you know, a lot of people know that you were on the podcast for years, for what, six-ish years?
I created it.
Yep, you created it. And then something happened in your life.
Showed up.
Dave showed up at some point and kicked you out.
Put his police gun into my head.
Exactly, said, that's what cops do.
I'm just kidding. This is my show.
Good me. And, I am the captain now.
Yes. Yeah. So you left and you're going to tell the story of what happened today on the podcast. We're going to hear that story as we play your keynote, not your speech, your speech from BPCon. Well, it's a phenomenal story, a sad story with a good ending. I will say that. I'll tease this a little bit. And it ended up with you actually sitting in my sea shed here out in Hawaii.
It's a little hot and
it is steamy. A little getting hot and steamy in here. Yeah.
It's kind of nasty.
Yeah. It's a little gross. I got some sweat, but that's what happens when you're in Hawaii. So Josh is now, you know, him and I, the other day, Josh and I, true story, Josh and I were sitting there out at this beach.
Oh yeah.
With Frank and
Frank.
With Frank.
Yes.
And we were sitting there surfing together, watching whales like breach out in the water, like a mama and a baby. And we're just like, look at each other. Like, how did we get here?
Yeah.
Like, this is crazy. And today's keynote is kind of like how we got there, I guess. Like, you know, especially how you kind of got here.
I think it's the mindset behind it, right? Uh-huh. Or at least it's more like, you know, what do you do when opportunity presents itself, for example, right? And so how did we get here? Where we are in time, and how did we get here where we are physically? I mean, you would not be here in Hawaii if not for Bigger Pockets. Correct. I would not be in Hawaii if not for Bigger Pockets. I think it's really important that we dive into in my keynote. The idea of just seizing opportunity and not letting other people kind of dictate the terms of the life that you want to live for yourself.
Yeah.
Right. Because we all go through life having all these influences starting from our parents, right? Our parents are telling us, do this, don't do that. You get to school, suddenly your peers, you know, dictate through various forms of influence, how you should act or not act, you know, bullying or whatever it is. Right. And that's how we all live our life, right? We all make our decisions based upon those external influences until some point. Now, you can make a decision, right? At each step along the way, I'm going to allow these influences to dictate how I go, or you can make that decision and say, you know what? I'm going to take control of my life. And so that's kind of what we dive into here. An example might be, I know that, you know, my two buddies are throwing a party and I really want to be there because, you know, I'll be the cool kid, but my parents say absolutely not. And so, you know, I have this choice, right? Do I go and seize the opportunity to go and have fun, or do I, you know, do something that's against what my parents are talking about? I mean, that's one level, but at another level, as in a career, which is what we more specifically talk about, decisions that you make as an adult, you have the same influence, right? My parents, when I graduated from college, I had to tell them at some point, hey, mom and dad, I'm moving back into the house for a little while because I want to be an actor, right? And what do you think they said?
I'm going to guess they didn't love that.
No, they weren't happy, right? Aren't you supposed to go to law school?
Be a lawyer.
Josh.
Be a lawyer. Be a doctor. Dave, that is a good impression of my mom.
That was good.
That was impressive. So, you know, now I have that influence, right? So I have to move forward making a decision based upon the fact that I'm either going to stand up for myself and do what I want to do, or I'm going to disappoint somebody.
Yeah.
Right. And so we all make those choices as we move along. And it may not be our parents. Oftentimes it is. I would ask you, Brandon and Dave, you know, have you ever made a career decision that disappointed a parent? That's a yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. But you made it regardless, right?
Yes.
Okay. So what was
They told me not to go to BP. They said that Josh Dorkin guy. he's got something wrong with him.
I'm glad you didn't listen to him. I'm glad you didn't. So what was it that helped you make that decision, or what was it that made you make the decision to go over or violate that kind of want of somebody else?
I would say deep down, I knew what I needed to do, which is exactly what your keynote's about today, right?
Nicely done. How about you, Dave?
That was my tease for your speech.
It was good.
Yeah, I had such a strong desire. It felt like God, the universe, whatever you want to call it, was saying, this is what I have for you. And that to say no to that felt wrong, more wrong than to disappoint my parents. It was being a police officer. No, obviously no mother wants their child to go be a cop. My dad straight up told me, you're not tough enough to make it as a cop. And that was always kind of a challenging relationship in my life, was the way that my dad looked at me. And I had this really strong feeling inside, like, this is what I'm meant to do. And even though other people were saying don't, it felt more wrong to say no to that feeling than it did to let down my parents, which is also a very strong instinct that you have as a kid. And it was like a turning point for me where I knew, I'm either going to do this with everything I have or I'm not going to do it. You can't really halfway something like this. And I think that maybe for me, that resistance to that plan forced me to double down on how much I was going to give to it and really served me well in the career. And it's funny you say this, because it was a very similar feeling when it came to real estate investing. All those same people were saying, why would you do that? Everyone loses money. That's such a bad idea. It's safer to go be a doctor, go be a lawyer. And it was that same, but something feels like this is the right move for me. So, and this is, I mean, it's a really important thing. We don't talk about it as often on a podcast like this, but that why, that feeling that's driving people, is an incredibly powerful part of this whole process to finding financial freedom.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny when you say that, you know, I think about when I started Bigger Pockets, I had no support. You know, the only support I had was Julie, my wife. And that is one of the things that a lot of startup guys finally acknowledge and realize is, you know, they're often alone with the support of their spouse, because really without the support of your spouse, you can't really move forward. And that's why we've had so many conversations over the years on the podcast about, so how'd you get your spouse? How'd you get your partner to come in and come along on this? But it all dives back to the same thing, right? And that's the thing with real estate as well, especially, you know, it's frowned down upon by so many, or it just seems so risky and so scary for people who don't understand it, right? And so taking that leap and making that decision that, hey, I'm going to try something that everybody I know thinks is kind of crazy and out of the box, that ultimate decision can be the decision between moving forward in early retirement or being locked in on a job that you don't like for the rest of your life. And that's what we talk about a lot. Well, I talk about in the speech is
the keynote.
It was a keynote. There were 1,000 people at that keynote. Just, I mean, I'm just saying.
There's 250,000 listening right now, Josh.
Wow.
Let's calm down.
I'm scared. No, but I think that's the important thing, right? Is you need to find it within yourself to find a cause, a purpose, some kind of inner drive that, like what Dave talked about, that's your decision and your call, and you can't let all the other noise dictate what you're going to do. You've got to believe in, you know, and trust in yourself and your own decisions in order to move forward. And so we talk about that. We also talk about some, you know, deeply, deeply personal family stuff with my daughter. And we talk about some other crazy revelations about, you know, just, a nutty story of finding my origins. So yeah, it's interesting.
You touching your roots. It's good.
That's all I touch.
All right. Well, I don't know. David, anything you want to add before we get into today's keynote speech?
I remember when I listened to Josh giving this speech, it had very little to do with real estate, and it was probably still the most impactful speech of the entire conference.
That everyone said that, yeah.
It was the quietest you've ever heard that many people at one time. It was eerie how, like, I remember thinking if someone was texting on their phone right now, you'd hear their fingers hitting the screen of it. So if you heard that speech, try to go back to what you felt when you were hearing it and how it moved you and motivated you to come back from that conference and double down on getting through your obstacles. And if this is your first time hearing it, let it move you. Let it, like a wave in the ocean, carry you with more gusto towards the obstacles that we all face. There's real estate investing is not something you get into without obstacles. We do it because there are obstacles, because that allows opportunity. And so anything you can grab that kind of gives you momentum or motivation to push through those is really valuable. So that's what I'm hoping people take out of the speech.
That's great. Now, I'll just add, you know, and if you have no interest in real estate investing at all, hopefully it influences you and how you live your life. And I would just say if folks, after listening to this, I would love to, you know, hear your take and your feedback. And
yeah, where's the best place to hit you at?
The best place is probably Twitter. I'm at J.R. Dorkin. That's at J.R. D-O-R-K-I-N.
What does R stand for?
Reed. Not Reed. Richard.
Josh Reed.
Not Richard.
Not Richard like mine. We both have an R middle we name. Do. What's your middle name, David?
I'm not speaking that.
You never, Josephine.
I was trying to throw that in there.
He does.
Get him to say it. Yeah, he never says it. All right. Well, Mr. J.R. Dorkin. Yeah. And
yeah, or just you could add joshuadorkin.com.
Or you can call him. His number is...
Yeah. let's see how this goes for Brandon and his career path.
Yeah, there we go. All right, y'all. Well, with that said, let's get to today's keynote from Mr. Josh Dorkin, founder and host of Bigger Pockets.
The godfather.
All right. With that said, let's cue the tape. Oh, I do want to say this. Josh had COVID. After the show, we're going to talk to Josh about what that was like, because I want to know what that was like. So, but I want to get to the show now, but we'll talk about him and his family's experience with COVID right afterwards. Let's get to the episode.
When the team asked me to come out and speak today, I pushed back a little bit. I was like, I don't know, you know, things, I'm transitioning, I'm moving towards the next stage in my life. And my wife came up to me and she said, Josh, this is an opportunity to share a story that a lot of people want to hear. A lot of people care. You've been out there, you've put yourself out there for all these years, you've given back to all these people, and now it's time for you to, you know, to kind of wrap things up, put a little bow on it, and let people feel good that life is going okay for you. And then you can also teach them a couple lessons while you're at it. And I said, okay, you know, push back, push, push, push. And finally, she convinced me. And I was like, all right, very excited. So I'm happy to be here. I am going to be telling you a fairly emotional story. So if I lose it, the entire Bigger Pockets team is already expecting this to happen. They know that I like to cry. So, you know, whatever. It takes a big guy to cry. I'm a big guy. Giraffe, remember? Giraffe. So, my speech today is actually, though, you know what to do. This morning, I was having breakfast with somebody who was on the podcast, and he was talking about his business, and he was talking about how he's known for the last year and a half that he needed to hire somebody to be his property manager. He's known this for a year and a half, and he hasn't done anything about it. Who here has known for a year and a half that they had to do something but didn't do it? Okay, just making sure. I got the right audience. All right, so let's start with this quote here. I'm the wisest man alive, for I know one thing, and that is that I know nothing. A lot of you guys turn and you look at me, Brandon, Jay, all these brilliant speakers up here, all these wonderful people, all the people within the community. And one of the things that stood out to me when I started Bigger Pockets was there was this group of people who were teaching real estate education. And they knew everything. They knew exactly how you had to run your business. They know exactly what you needed to do, the path you had to take. But guess what? They didn't know anything. They were selling you on that. You have your own path. You have your own path. You have your own path. We all have our own paths. And we have to figure out how that path is going to work. And there's not any single person that is out there that's going to tell you this is what you have to do. You have to figure that out for yourself. So, for starters, please don't listen to anybody who thinks they know everything about everything, because they don't. And if their, you know, ego is so big that they think so, you want to move on and learn from somebody else. So, what have you been up to for the last few years? Kind of fell off the earth, right? Josh was there, he was out and about, and all of a sudden, I disappeared. Now, a lot of you guys know I'm on the podcast. I've been on running the site for 14 years. And out of the blue, we had this family tragedy. We had these things happen, but haven't been super forthcoming in everything just for privacy purposes. Really wanted to kind of deal with stuff. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. But before I do, I'm going to dive into a very brief history of Bigger Pockets. Bigger Pockets was founded almost 15 years ago. I believe it's 15 years ago in the next week or so. It'll be our 15-year birthday. I was teaching special ed, high school in Los Angeles. I had a brief failed career in the entertainment business. Wasn't that failed? I got to sport this amazing mohawk, which is obviously sexier than the one that you saw yesterday. Obviously. That the homeless man in the middle there, that was actually me in a film. That was not what happened to me as a result of teaching special ed for 4 years. And the last photo is actually me in the very first stages of Bigger Pockets on that big old iMac and just kicking things off. So early days, I'm investing in real estate. Things are, you know, really exciting and I'm starting to make mistakes and I need help. And I look out and I can't find anything to help me that I feel like I can trust. And I say, all right, you know what? Let me see what I can do. Let me see if I can build something on the side. Now, mind you, back in the day, I had been building websites for fun. I was like, all right, let's see what I can do, right? So I'm investing, I'm teaching, and nights, weekends, in between classes, I start my side hustle. So who here started their real estate business as a side hustle? All right. All of a sudden, my side hustle hobby starts to take over my life. Here I am, not in my boxer shorts, unfortunately. The rumors are not true. But here I am in my living room. All of a sudden, I've transitioned. I've quit my job teaching high school. I moved to Colorado. I got married. And this is pretty much how I spent my days in between feeding a baby and taking care of them and doing all these other things. I did that for 8 years. So for 8 years, first 2 years were while I was teaching. Next 6 years, I worked 100-hour weeks. Every single week, relentlessly. When my children were born, I had my laptop in the hospital. When my kids were sick, I had my laptop in the hospital. When I traveled, I had my laptop, not in the hospital, wherever I was. Hopefully it wasn't the hospital. So I went 8 years without taking a single day off. I worked 7 days a week, 365 days a year for 8 years. Who here thinks that's a healthy thing to do? Thank you. Good. All right. Not super smart. I burnt out and realized that I needed to change. I needed to do something different. So I decided it was time to hire and went forth and hired this skinny little boy. Handsome, without facial hair. You really got to lose the beard, man. And things changed very quickly. Things changed very, very, very quickly. We launched a podcast. Who here listens to the Bigger Pockets podcast? Yeah. Yeah. We launched a book business. Who here has read a Bigger Pockets book? Yeah. All of a sudden, we could start scaling. I didn't have to work 100 hours a week. It was awesome. I was working 95. My hair was falling out less quickly. Things continue to scale, things continue to scale, things continue to grow, and all of a sudden, I have enough money to hire the next person, my next employee. All of a sudden, I have a team. So before we go further, I'd like everybody here to give a rousing round of applause for the entire Bigger Pockets team.
Stand up. Stand up, guys. BP, stand up. Come on. These guys are unbelievable. And they're not all here. Not the whole team isn't here. We've actually got somebody down with food poisoning, unfortunately. And then there's folks back home and otherwise, but these guys are amazing. So this is a photo of the early team. You got Brandon next to Brandon. Who knows who John Holdman is? One hand. So John Holdman, the guy with the funny beard, he was our first moderator. He was literally one of the first 100 people on the site and continued to stay with us for years and years and years and years as a moderator. Then you got Scott next to him. You got this guy, Hillary Catton, the most amazing customer support person on earth, Allison Leung, and that was Rob, our head of engineering for a very, very long time. So the team starts growing. We start scaling. We hire some phenomenal employees still with us today. And then we made some mistakes. We didn't hire all amazing people. We learned. We screwed up. And it was okay. It was okay. But we continue to scale this business. And little by little, this thing got a life of its own. Overnight success, right? Year 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. We're at 30-something employees. The business is growing. We're catering to you guys, hopefully. And things are going great. But then I needed to step away. I needed to step away because life forced me to. But here's the thing. I probably should have done that sooner. So in 2017, I had 3 panic attacks. And I don't know if anyone here has had them. And if you have, you know, you don't have to raise your hand. But who here has had some form of anxiety or panic attack? It's scary. It's scary. And my panic attacks, I knew in my heart and I knew in my soul that my body was telling me something. But I didn't listen. And I kept going. And I'm not 20 anymore. A panic attack at 20 is one thing. A panic attack in your 40s, suddenly you're having a heart attack. I got 3 kids. Life is not worth it. Let me continue forward. Bigger Pockets was in this stage where I had to step aside, and we're going to talk about that in a second. But then we move on to this next stage. So as I step aside, somebody had to step in my interim, and this drunken man here. Scott Trench, everybody. CEO of Bigger Pockets. By the way, that is Scott sitting in the first row of first class next to me. I think that was the only time I've ever flown first class. Scott's rocking his gym shorts. He's got his sandals on, I think. And I don't know how you can quite fall asleep like that. Don't ever let him forget that. So, this, if you've never seen this before, these are the core values that we've established for Bigger Pockets. Family over everything. Serve others with purpose. Build authentic relationships. Be insatiably curious. Keep things fun and get it done. Challenge what's possible and value unique perspectives. By the way, if you have not written core values for your business, this proved to be one of the most important exercises we've ever done. Back to Allison, who really helped take the lead on this, Allison Leung, and worked with me very closely, and the rest of the team. This was extremely important for us and has helped to guide the business forward and will continue to help guide the business forward. So The ironic thing is, the top thing there says family over everything. Here's the problem. I was putting bigger pockets over everything instead of family over everything. I was trying, but you do that long enough and it takes its toll. Something wasn't right, and I just ignored it. So that's me, that's my business. In your business, I guarantee every single one of you has something happening in your business that you know you need to do. And it's usually the big scary thing. And you sit and you wait and you procrastinate. And say, I'm gonna get there one day, I'm gonna do it. Let me knock these little easy things out, because they're easy. And then you wait. And guess what happens? You never do the big scary thing. And it's the big scary thing that helps you to move forward. It's the big scary thing that brings you progress in your business and in your life. Now, in my case, I was just working relentlessly. What movie is this from? All right, good. All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. Well, I was becoming a dull boy, and I wasn't aware of it. I didn't even realize it. November 27th, 2017. I've got three little girls who are amazing, amazing wife. My eldest, Zoe, up until this point, had, I believe it's six surgeries. She got salmonella when she was three, spent 8 days in isolation in the hospital. We thought she was gonna die. She tonsillectomy, adenoidectomy, and she had two eye muscle surgeries to straighten her eyes out. She had something called strabismus, so kind of like a lazy eye. So they do these eye muscle surgeries. They detach one of the muscles. There's an outer, inner. They detach one. They move it like millimeters and then reattach it. Suddenly your eyes are straight and your brain's like, cool, we're going to keep your eyes corrected. 80% success rate. Well, we were in the 20% the first time and then 20% the next time. November 27, 2017, we took her in for her third eye muscle surgery. It was a routine surgery, in and out. We had done it twice before. We knew what we were in for. And I took the day off of work to take care of her. And we did the surgery, and we took her home. And we knew the next day she'd wake up, her eyes would both be open, and she'd be fine. Except the next day she woke up, and her eye did not open. So I didn't go into work. And the next day, and the next day. Monday was the surgery. By Wednesday, we knew something just really wasn't right. We had called the doctor on Tuesday. He said, wait. Wednesday, he said, let me see her. We brought her in. He said, I think she might have an infection. Her face had started to swell up. Thursday, it didn't get any better. She's on antibiotics. Friday, it's getting worse. We go in again. Now things have picked up. We are going to need to admit her to the hospital. So they admit her to the hospital. They put her on IV antibiotics. And these IV antibiotics are obviously going to hopefully help take this infection away. The problem is your eye is really close to your brain. And an infection can spread very quickly from your eye to your brain. So they watched her. And what they told us was, Josh, and Julie, we think there's a chance we may have to do a surgery. Well, this is scary. This is really scary. They decide that we're going to just wait and watch her. Saturday comes. We may take her in this afternoon. We may not. We're not sure. You know, imagine the waiting, right? Imagine thinking, hey, any second this thing could go into my kid's brain. What are you going to do? Sunday comes. By the way, Julie is homesick. She cannot be in the hospital. I'm alone. She's got my two kids. I'm with Zoe. And all of a sudden, the doctors come in Sunday morning. A second doctor we hadn't met comes in, and she says, it's time. So come with us. So we go downstairs. They roll her down into the surgical area. There's not a single person there. It's a Sunday. They don't do surgeries on Sunday. They wheel her downstairs. They bring us into this room, and they say, you know, they start prepping her, and they say, you know, we're going to take her off. Now, when they take kids for surgery, normally it's a calm, relaxing thing, as scary as it is. And the parent gets to go into the room with them. Well, once we went downstairs and they prepped us, they rushed her off. She was crying. She was freaked. I was crying. I was freaked. No info on how long it was going to take. No info on what was going to happen. Off she went. As I pace here nervously, I did the same that day for the next 2+ hours in a hospital waiting area with no doctors, no nurses, no patients, no parents, nobody, just by myself. They finally came out. By the way, unimaginable fears, scenarios spinning through your head. They come out, we did the surgery, she's gonna be okay. We had to cut into her eyeball. We had to drain the fluid out of her eyeball, and we found all this necrotic dead tissue in her eyeball. Scary. Is she gonna see again? Is she gonna be okay? Yes. She is. Okay. So she's going to be okay. Everything's going to be great. They admit us, but, you know, we're back in the hospital. We're there for the next few days. And she's doing okay. But there's kind of some weird stuff happening, and I couldn't quite explain it. And the doctors kind of poo-pooed everything I was saying. And everything my wife was saying. Now, I don't know if there's any physicians in here, and no offense to anything I'm going to say, but a lot of doctors are full of shit. You know, the challenge is they, unlike my first quote, they know everything. And the challenge is there's oftentimes difficulty in admitting that you don't know everything. And so when we had these weird things happen, everybody kind of poo-pooed us, the whole team poo-pooed us, and they actually sent us home. So we went home a few days later and nervously agreed to do so. And we were happy, we're excited. Her eyes still closed, but we're home. And then the next day, still kind of acting funny. And then the next day. Zoe, what are you doing? Nothing. Zoe, what are you doing? Nothing. Why are you walking funny? I'm not. It was too late in the day. We called the doc. He said, just watch it, wait till tomorrow, If nothing changes, bring her in. We tentatively agreed. The next day came. We brought her to the emergency room. It was Saturday. She wasn't walking anymore. They scanned her, checked her brain, checked her eyeball. Poo-pooed us all along the way. Everything's gonna be okay. We don't see anything wrong. She can't walk. What do you mean there's nothing wrong? We think it's something in the brain. Well, she didn't have anything in the brain before she went into the surgery. What did you do? What happened? We think it's this thing. Go see your primary care doctor on Monday. It's Saturday. Excuse me. So they send us home. For the next 48 hours, I've got a kid who can't walk, can't hold her torso up anymore. And I have zero answers. And I have doctors telling me everything's going to be okay. Imagine that feeling, that absolute terror that you go through. We went into the doc. Doc says, this is horrifying. We're sorry. We need to bring in the psychologist. We think there may be something from a psychological standpoint. And then they make this ruling. They say, hey, we think it's this. We got to get you into the hospital. They start calling the hospital. Hospital says we're not going to admit her. They continue to call. We start calling. They're not going to admit us. Tuesday comes. Same thing. Wednesday comes. Same thing. Thank goodness I have political aspirations, and I've befriended several politicians in my area, and I have some friends who are on the board of the hospital. I call, I say, tell them my story, what's going on, and within an hour, we get admitted to the hospital. So, let me stand on my soapbox for a second here. That's bullshit, and no one deserves that, and that is absolutely one of the biggest reasons our healthcare needs to be reformed. Absolutely insanity. Because I'm lucky, privileged, and connected is no reason that my kid should get treated better than anyone else. And it goes further because they made a diagnosis. They diagnosed her with something called conversion disorder, a condition in which a person has blindness, paralysis, or other nervous system neurologic symptoms that cannot be explained by medical evaluation. The recovery ratio on conversion disorder is not very good. And there's a reason for it. It's costly to treat. And there's not really a great explanation for it yet. So in the case of Zoe, she's in the hospital, and over the next couple days, her legs aren't working, her torso is not working, her eyes are already closed, she can't hold her head up anymore, and she stops being able to use her arms. They give us this bullshit explanation, which is, we ruled everything else out. We got nothing left to call it. This is an actual disorder, by the way, conversion disorder. But they're going to find out in 10 or 20 years that conversion disorder is one of like 30 things. They rule her with conversion. I don't believe it. One day, I'm laying in bed with her in the hospital. She's sleeping. It's the middle of the night. She sits up. Wait. She lays back down. We thought there was something physically wrong with her. Well, my daughter was a sleepwalker. She would wake up in the middle of the night and walk around and talk and blabber. All of a sudden, I bought into it. We now knew that it wasn't something physical, that it was something psychological. We actually bought into conversion disorder. Start making phone calls while we're at the hospital. They give her a little bit of treatment here and there because that's what they do, because, you know, that's, they're just not equipped unless they're a specialty facility, which there was one in Rhode Island. It would cost us like $75,000 to put her on an ambulance plane to get her there because she can't hold her body up. She can't get treated at lots of the facilities because she could not bathroom herself because she could not hold her body up. And she could not get the full level of care that she absolutely deserved because of her condition. And so we started making calls, talked to some experts, and decided it was time to get her the hell out of the hospital. We needed to bring her home. We needed to put her in a normal, regular home environment, and we were going to build a team. We were going to overcome the statistics on this, and we were going to win. Family above all else. Well, I finally started following that. Fifty percent. Those are really scary numbers. So we've got our plan together. We build our team. 7 days a week of occupational therapy. 7 days a week of physical therapy in the home. Therapy weekly. We started seeing a psychiatrist. I turned my living room into a gymnasium. There were mats on the floor. I got one of these electrical, like, bike things that you click a, you know, they're for all the old people. You click it and, you know, it automatically does this for you, right? We strap her in and let her go. We didn't want her to atrophy, right? We worked on her body. We worked on her mind every single day. My full-time job was to care for this child, and that is what I did. So this is Zoe in therapy, trying to learn how to use her legs. Unimaginable fear. I thought my daughter could be a paraplegic for life. We worked with her constantly, relentlessly, did not quit. In the same way that I relentlessly built this business, I now knew had a new focus. And it was this child. And I was not going to lose this battle. Because I don't like to lose battles, and I especially don't like to lose battles when it comes to my family. After weeks and weeks, we started to see some improvement. Before we got her out of the hospital, we actually got her hands moving. We just kept buying Lego sets. She loves Legos. So Legos constantly. We bribed the hell out of her. Stuffies. She's got to have 300-400 stuffies. Like, move your finger an inch. You got a stuffy. You know, you name it. This is her in school. We tried to normalize her life. 9 years old, you go from a healthy kid and all of a sudden you're in a wheelchair. I don't care how awkward you feel. You are going to school. Maybe not all day, but you're going to go in and we're going to normalize your life. We saw things get better. And little by little, there would be light at the end of the tunnel. Here's your walker, nice and decorated, blinged out. Rocked the walker for a while. And 2 weeks before the end of school, the walker was gone. August 23rd, 2019. Those of you guys who know me know I like to go out. I like to play in the woods. Getting the goods in the woods, as one of my friends likes to say. And Mount Bierstadt, August 23rd, 2019, 14,065 feet. That little girl did what the big hairy bearded guy in the back struggled to do last year with me. She made it to the top of a 14,000 foot peak in Colorado. That's her on skis. So for the last 2 years, I've spent my time with that kid, with my other kids, with my family. And in so doing, I pondered. I thought about life. I thought about death. And I mostly thought about happiness. And I read, and I read. And I tried to figure out what it is that matters. There's nothing more important than finding your happiness. Life has a way of giving you signals. In my case, I might have been working a little too hard. I was having panic attacks, frustrated, stressed out. Who here in their work is stressed out from time to time? That's okay. Who here gets frustrated with how things are going from time to time? Sure. Now, even a perfect business, there's going to be frustration and stress, right? But these are signs. These are symbols. These are things that are telling you maybe you got to tweak things. Maybe you got to change how you do it. Maybe you need to alter. Maybe you have to find processes. Maybe you have to simplify your business. Well, a funny thing happened. Despite stepping away to be with my family, Bigger Pockets continue to grow and thrive. I guess 14 years of creating a great foundation allows something to foster and grow. Bigger Pockets would be okay without me. It was time for me to start the new act.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you can make sure your ride stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED lights, exhaust kits, turbochargers, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Listen up, business owners, because I've got some quick little math for you. Fewer costs equal more profit. The problem? You're spending more than ever on operations, materials, deliveries, software, and more. So why not reduce your costs and headaches with NetSuite by Oracle? NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. Oh, also, NetSuite lives in the cloud, which means you can reduce IT costs with no hardware required. Cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because now you've got one unified business management suite. You can improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. It makes sense that over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. So don't let rising costs sink your business growth. And by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/biggerpockets. 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 This show is sponsored by Airbnb. Did you know that a long time ago, before I ever started my real estate business, I turned one of my first primary residences into an Airbnb? And that's the extra income that I needed from Airbnb that gave me the confidence to go out and work for myself and eventually quit my 9-to-5 job. And now I have dozens of Airbnbs all over the country. I've even partnered up with the old David Green on a recent property in Scottsdale to take our portfolio to the next level. And of course, we host it on Airbnb. But you don't need to be a full-time real estate investor to start on Airbnb. As a matter of fact, I was self-managing 10 properties while working my 9-to-5 job, so I know anybody can do it. Think about it this way. You're looking for extra income and going on a vacation. Wouldn't it be great to rent out your space and let your property pay for itself while you're gone? I did this one time. I pitched my wife and my roommate, because we were house hacking, on the idea of renting out our home, and it paid for all of our expenses on a trip to Mexico City. So go and give it a try. It might just change your life, just like it did mine. And I really do mean that. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So, I'm figuring out what's next. I'm working through it. My family, things are starting to get better. We're mid-2017, and some new information comes to light. My brother calls me up. Josh, I just took a 23andMe test. Yeah. All right. Well, you know, the girls, so he's got two adopted daughters. The girls really wanted to learn more about their background, their past, so we did that. And I took it. And Alex, his wife, took it. That was cool. And, you know, got all this info and all this stuff. And our half-brother this and the other stuff. And da-da-da. I'm half, wait, what? Half what? Half-brother? Wait, say that again. You got a half-brother. At least that's what the site says. No, that's not possible. How could we have a half-brother? No, that doesn't work. Now let me rewind for a second here. So when I was a year old, my dad passed away from testicular cancer. Thank goodness people don't really die from testicular cancer today, but I didn't know that. So if you've ever seen me doing things, you know, I was scared for a really long time that I was gonna die of testicular cancer. My hands were there a lot, a lot. Anyway, my dad died when I was a year old. He actually died on my brother's 4th birthday, which is crazy. But he died, and my mom remarried, and Dorkin is the name of my stepdad. He's my dad. He raised me. And so we get this information about this half-brother. Well, half-brother, dad's been dead for 40 years. We know it's not mom, because mom is a overbearing Jewish mom. And those of you who have overbearing Jewish or otherwise mothers would know that no overbearing Jewish mom would let their boy go. And so it had to be dad. Well, maybe he had a kid before mom, and maybe while with mom, maybe afterwards. Uh-oh. Let's call mom. So we call mom. Hey, mom. What's up? How you doing? Hi, Josh. Was that good, Brandon? That was good. hey, mom, so there's this whole DNA test that Dave took, and says we got a half-brother. DNA? What's that? Wasn't that bad. So do the DNA. We explain it to her and say, hey, what's the story? She denies. No, nothing. No, it's impossible. Mom, it's not possible. DNA is science. It's impossible. She hangs up. The next day, we call her again. Mom, DNA. What's DNA? It's science. It's not possible. And we relented. And we relented. And out of the blue, she says, well, there's this one thing. What's the one thing, Mom? Well, your father and I couldn't have kids. We struggled. So we went to a fertility clinic. And they took your father's stuff and they mixed it with another guy's stuff. They mixed it? What? Mom, science. Do you know how it works? What do you mean? I had to explain. The ones that can swim, they're the ones that are going to win. Mom, so what you're telling me is, by the way, step back for 2 seconds. The guy that I had been, my birth dad, so there was like a family separation. We literally, my entire life, knew nothing about him or his family. So there was a hole in my life. By the way, this is a big part of my speech, so I probably shouldn't forget it. Big hole in my life. And my whole life, we are searching for this family. And we can't find this family. Well, now, all of a sudden, we've got this new information. We are all of a sudden not trying to figure out about my birth dad's family. We got DNA dad. Yeah. By the way, I'm going to create a new television show called My Three Dads. I think it's brilliant, where I find out about my 600 stepbrothers that I never knew about. It'll be a comedy. Anyway, I've got all this new information. I've got this giant hole in my life. And all of a sudden, the hole kind of went away. But here's the weird thing. I don't know who my bio dad is. So how did that hole go away? Well, I didn't need to search for my birth dad anymore. He was there. Sadly, he, you know, in the last year of his life, as I was growing, he spent most of that time in the hospital. My father raised me, my stepdad. And the guy who allowed me to live, planted his seed, so to speak. You know, I'm grateful. I didn't need to really figure out who he was, besides the fact that it would be close to impossible. Because I called some people and was like, hey, what are the odds? And they're like, well, you got to take a 23andMe test, and you can probably try and find the clinic, but you may have to pay lawyers a whole hell of a lot of money to open up court records on all this. And I'm like, it sounds like a lot of work. I don't care. And when I said that, I realized that I actually didn't care. This is my life. I am not my father. I am not my father. I am not my father. Hopefully there's not a fourth. I'm not my mother, my brother. I am me. And this is my life. And I'm going to live this life the way I want to live this life. And I have lived this life the way I want to live this life. And I'm proud of the way I've lived this life. I've lived a great life. And that hole is gone. And so I'm sure all of you guys have folks out there who tell you what to do. Oh, you shouldn't do that. Come on, man. You're really going to do that with your business? Really? Really? You're going to hire a property manager and not save all that money? wait a second. You're going to flip houses? Are you crazy? Who here has heard something like that? Guess what? You are going to continue to hear something like that forever. The reason this room is so special, at least in the world of real estate, is that nobody here is going to say that to you. And if they do, go back to my second slide about people knowing more than they think they know. Right? So, this is your life. You know what you need to do. You know what's important. You know what's necessary. I love this quote. We cannot change the cards we're dealt, just how we play the hand. So I learned all this information about my three dads. My daughter's getting better. And as I said, I decided it was time to make a change. Bigger Pockets was doing well. I needed to figure out what mattered to me again. I needed to figure out what was next. So I set forth, got together with Scott and Brandon, who at this point were pretty much running the day-to-day along with Dave and the rest of the team. And we put together a search. And midsummer, we found a group that we thought was going to be spectacular. We'd met lots of folks. And it was a private equity shop out of Omaha, Nebraska, a company called McCarthy Capital. McCarthy was going to come in and become my new partner. I was going to step down. 14 years of building my baby, and it was time to step away. So, along with McCarthy, we put together a board, of which I am a part. We hired a chairman of the board, Mr. Mike Zawalski. And built an incredible, incredible team. Scott Trench, our new CEO, has done a phenomenal job along with the rest of the team. I was so scared. I was so scared of letting my baby go. But I realized it was time. It was ready. And I realized that I found the right people to help continue the path of my company. So here's to the future of Bigger Pockets and the amazing team that we already applauded, who's currently running it. As for me, I'm pursuing my happy. I'm spending time with my kids. I'm finding hobbies. For the first time in years, I'm getting fit. I'm getting the goods in the woods. I'm taking care of my mental health. I'm taking care of my family. And I'm focusing on me. I haven't done that in a really, really, really long time. So here's a few takeaways. One, do not wait until life decides for you. You know what you need to do. You know what is important. Make it happen. Two, map and plan. Write down. Write down. Is it your family? What part of your family life needs help? Make a list. I have a book. That book, Monk Ferrari, actually really helped me with this. I've got a page that says family. And it's, hey, make sure I do this, you know, write love letters to my wife. Do this with my kids. All the things I aspire to do on my family. Health. Run a 5K, did that. Run a 10K, did that. Run a marathon, haven't done that yet. Climb a 14er, I've done many of those. I actually did four a few weeks ago in one day. Take action. You can't just write things down, you gotta do it. You gotta do it. Do not wait for permission. This is your life. This is nobody else's life. It's nobody's business telling you what to do. You know what to do in your heart. I see you guys. I see the brains spinning. All of you guys, think about all that stuff. You know in your heart what it is that you need to do. Do not wait for permission. Take action and do it. Life is short. You can die tomorrow. Gary Vaynerchuk is very famous in saying this. And whenever people text him for advice, that's his response. He's right. I like to live my life as if I'm going to die tomorrow. Well, what are you waiting for? Because you can die tomorrow, or your kid can get conversion disorder, or you can get hit by a bus. And I know it's sad, and I know it's scary, and I know 90% of you are afraid to stop and think about it. But I implore you guys to think about it. You can die tomorrow, and if you're going to die tomorrow, what the hell are you going to do today? You better start changing your life. Go out and find your path. Everybody's got their own. Figure it out. You know it. Put it down. Write it. Follow it. Do it. Good luck to you. You guys, great, great, great quote from a very, very smart man. Your time is limited, so don't waste it living someone else's life. Thank you very much.
All right, that was even better the second time around than it was the first time, Josh. Wow. You know, that was good.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you. I know you weren't really listening the first or the second time, so you know.
I listened carefully, Josh.
Yeah,
I was not texting the whole time.
Thank you for paying attention. I appreciate you.
Yeah, whatever.
I love that you called him out on that. It was so much better for him the second time because that was the first time. Brandon was engaged in a vigorous game of Snake on his cell phone during the entire first.
That was a great game, by the way. Oh my God. The countless hours I played that.
Yeah. No, it was, so I worked with you. Let me be honest with you a minute here. I worked with you ahead of time on your speech. And I think 2 hours before you went on stage, you were like, I'm not really sure where I should go with this one. I'm not sure if I should tell this story. And I was like, thinking, Josh is going to, he's going to blow this. He has no idea what he's going to talk about today. And then you just came out of nowhere with an amazing speech. I was like, what? Like, cause like you, I think you were pretending that you had no idea what you were going to do like up until like a minute before we went on stage. And then you're just like, here, I'm just an awesome speaker. So anyway, I was very fearful for you. So I was not playing Snake. I was sitting there like shaking, like, Josh, don't mess up on what you're going to say here. Wow. And then you didn't. So good job.
So I had a number of stories that I had potential to go through and essentially I had constructed this thing and, you know, decided as things were going forward and as I kind of felt the crowd's energy or whatever, you know, which way I was going to go with it. So yeah, I had it mostly outlined, but yeah,
we did good.
I think it turned out all right.
Well, speaking of turning out all right, I love transition phrases like
that. That was the worst.
Let's talk about COVID. Let's talk about you. So Josh here, this is back in,
how you feeling, Dave?
Like, yeah.
Speaking of COVID.
Yeah. Speaking of COVID, how you feeling, David?
I'm still alive and kicking.
All right, good. Okay. David has a cold, but we think he probably.
Now every time you get a cold,
Yeah, exactly.
Did you sign your will?
Well, the fact that you're not around anybody and you got a cold magically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, David's got a cold.
Yeah.
It's if you guys seen that meme online, that's like every day I wake up now and go, is that COVID or is that what a throat feels like? Yeah. Like, it's like, oh yeah, is that what I like? But, anyway,
but that's 1,000 times worse. When you have COVID and after you have COVID, just so you know.
Is it?
All right. Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about that. So I'll be honest with you again. Sometimes
this is shocking, this by is, the way, David. He's been honest twice
in the last conversation,
which rarely happens with
Brandon. Yes, I'm
now I'm wondering if Brandon has COVID and he's on his deathbed here and it's
well, the fact that honesty. I'm 2 feet away from him, yes, we is
are
troubling.
We are 5 feet. We are a foot short of social distancing standards right here in this sea shed. But back in February, I think it was maybe even early March. Was it March?
It was March.
But March when you got it. But even before that, you were the very first of anybody in my circle, of anybody I knew, who was like, this is a big deal. We need a social distance. Yeah, I think it was maybe January. You were like, we need to stay inside. And you like locked your family in. And I was like, there goes Josh being Josh. Yep. I was like, this is all going to blow over in like a week. And Josh will have just missed out on 3 weeks of life because he was like, social. I didn't quite think that bad. But like, I assumed you were just being a little hypochondriac a little bit, you know? You know, I was assuming that. And then the whole world falls apart. Yeah. And then of everybody in my entire life that I knew, you were the first one to get COVID. How did that happen? I don't even know.
It sucked.
You must have got it from like a box from Amazon or something, because you were like locked down.
I wasn't locked down per se. I was prepping in January. I was starting to order materials.
You should see his toilet paper stack right now.
I had a lot of toilet paper.
He was that guy.
Yeah. But that was before like everyone was hoarding. Uh-huh. I was pre-hoarding.
Yeah. You were a pre-hoarder.
I was
I don't know what that means.
I don't like either.
This would be a show called pre-hoarding. Pre-hoarders.
But it was scary. I was watching what was happening in China. And yeah. They were like, you know, they were welding people into apartment buildings. Yeah. And I'm like, this is not going to end well for anyone on earth. And so far it has not. And we're laughing about it. And obviously it's extremely serious.
It's crazy. You had it. You were laughing when you were in your house.
No. So we had a family event in Los Angeles. We were locked down at home, and there was a family event. It was a bat mitzvah. And like, we had to go to this bat mitzvah. And I told Julie, my wife, I'm like, this is a terrible idea. We should not get on an airplane.
Oh, blaming the wife now.
And, and we got into a debate, and you know, like, there was an expectation, which goes back to the speech. Yeah. There was an expectation that we needed to be there, and we had to live up to that expectation. Right. And so ultimately we relented. You know, I did not want to, but I did it because I thought it was the right thing to do for my family.
Yep.
We relented, we got an airplane, we went to Los Angeles. We were super careful. Like, we were the only one who was like wiping the seat down and the armrest, and everybody thought we were crazy. We were not wearing masks though.
Yeah.
And obviously this is an airborne ailment here. So, and when we got back, you know, we had finished our grocery shopping we got back, I think it was Sunday or Monday. That Thursday or Friday was when Tom Hanks, you know, announced that he had this disease, and suddenly like the world shut down the next day.
Yeah.
That was Friday. Sunday I started feeling sick, and I actually started charting it because I was so worried that I had actually had it. And turns out I did. And it was pretty awful. It started feeling like kind of a cold with this weird dizziness, and had lots of other, pretty much every symptom. I lost my smell. I lost my sense of taste. I had the low grade annoying fevers for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. After week two, I developed the lung stuff and this cough that just wouldn't go away. I finally stopped charting after, I think it was 94 days. So I was what they call a long hauler. But that was the early days. That was when like going to the hospital was a death sentence, right? Anybody who would go into the hospital, you were probably going to die.
Did you go in?
And no, but I was sick. And then I got to this point where there were 2 days, everybody in my house got it. There were 2 days where Julie and I could not get off the couch. We got up from our bed, got down to the couch. Like, we could not do anything else. Our kids made all three meals for us. We had a 6, 8, and 10 year old. And they prepared three meals a day for 2 days for us, for all five of us. We couldn't do anything. And it got to a point where I think the worst thing was when I had gotten the cough, I was having trouble breathing, and ultimately ended up in a place where I was really struggling breathing. I was coughing. I had no energy, and you know, really could barely do anything. And I freaked out. the next thing I've got to do, I'm going to have to check myself in the hospital, you know? And I kind of started having just, and I talked about on the show, panic attacks. I talked about in the keynote here today about these panic attacks I had. The last time I had a panic attack was you know, before everything in the speech. The next time, and I've not had one since, was when COVID hit. I thought I was going to die. I legitimately was like, I need to go to the hospital today. This is the last time I'm going to actually see my kids. This is the last time I'm going to see my wife again. And I just lost it.
Yeah, I bet.
It was horrifying. Before I did that, I decided to call a few friends who were physicians and said, hey, you know, am I at that point that I need to go and get intubated and go to the hospital? And they walked me through kind of what I was feeling. They're like, you're kind of at the cusp. You know, if it goes even a drop more, you need to go and check yourself in. And thank goodness, you know, I was able to recover. I'm here, obviously, unlike, you know, the 250,000 plus others who've died from this thing horribly. But it was a pretty terrible experience. And the big thing we were joking about, which is like, everybody has like a sniffle and they're like, hey, do I have COVID? Yeah. Well, what happens when you actually get it is, and when you get it bad, at least it happened to me and it's happened to other people I've talked to, is I still get sniffles. And now when I get my sniffle again, I'm thinking, oh no, it's back.
Yeah.
And that's like a serious PTSD. So we're all going through this crazy PTSD right now. Yeah. Like everybody's going through it. It's considerably worse for those people who've had it pretty bad. I'm just, you know, hope everybody stays safe. And I'm excited that we've got so far three vaccines that are coming hopefully soon. And hopefully we'll get back to normal in the next year or so.
Yeah. Crazy, man.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Yeah.
It's been a long 2 years since we last were here, but things are going well. We're in Hawaii. Life is all right right now. So, you know, despite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. What do you think, Dave?
I think this is a great indication of what the year 2020 has been for a lot of people, is a wake up call. Nothing's guaranteed. There's been a ton of uncertainty. I don't think any of us have known, from who was going to be president to what COVID-19 was going to do, to the wildfires that were in California, to are we going to have stimulus? Is the economy going into a recession? It's just been nonstop, not status as usual. And it's forced a lot of people who were in a comfort zone to be shaken out of it. Yeah. And I think that being shaken out of your comfort zone, whether it's voluntarily or involuntarily, is usually a good thing. And it can be dangerous when you slip into one for too long. So while it's been an unpleasant year, it's also healthy in the way that exercise when you are out of shape is very unpleasant, but it's still really good for you. And so there is definitely a lot of scary things that we can take out of a story like that. But on the other end of that is what you talked about in your speech.
Yep.
Don't live your life according to other people's standards. Make sure you know what's really important to you and design your life to support what you want it to be. And this was a year that really brought a lot of the importance of that to the surface.
Yeah, I think it's great. What I would add is I would plead to everybody listening to use this time, especially as this is about to come out. We're going back into lockdowns again, hardcore, right? Yeah. This is the third wave, so to speak. I don't know. Who knows what wave we're in? But take this opportunity to really evaluate your life. Take this opportunity to look at not just your career path, right? Because, you know, this is a real estate show. This is a show where we talk about careers, but every aspect of your life. Look at your friendships. Look at your family. Look at your relationship with your spouse or significant other. Look at how you behave around your kids, the time you spend with your kids, right? Look at your parents, you know, look at those folks. Look at your neighbors, look at your community. And you know, I would, Brandon and I, one of the things that you've done for me, the most important thing you've done for me besides, you know, this show and the frequent back rubs, is Brandon does this thing at the end of every year with Heather, where they evaluate kind of, they look forward, they look at the year ahead and talk about what they're planning to do. And then they look at, you know, they break their life down into various verticals, right? When he told me about that, I was blown away and I started doing the same thing. And so I would just tell people, take this time to self-evaluate and really consider what's important to you, what's important to your family, and everything else is kind of noise. I mean, it really is. And then use that to dictate and shape the path that you want to take forward.
That's a good quick tip right there.
It wasn't so quick.
The long tip.
A lot of bruises got me there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, we need to have you back on the show more often. So come back anytime. It's the Seashed. You know where it's at.
Yeah.
We're like six blocks from each other now. So it's easy.
Awesome.
David Green, anything you want to close the show with?
That's a nice tall order after a show like this. I know. Well, now I got to figure out a way to move to Hawaii because I don't like being the odd man out over
come
here.
Join. Come join have to, the dark side.
Yeah, come hang out.
Exactly.
What you need is a good integrator, David, like somebody who can run your business in California that runs everything. That's like the best of the best. They run California for you. So you can come back and forth to Hawaii whenever you want or wherever.
So he's saying hire your CEO. You
hire your CEO in your life.
Board.
I need a CEO and a CFO. I need an integrator. If that's you, please contact me so that I can selfishly be in Hawaii with Brandon and Josh frolicking in the waves and looking for whales on paddle boards. I will pay you handsomely.
Frolicking. I will pay you handsomely.
All right. Well, thank you, Josh, for joining us today.
Yeah. J.R. Dorkin on Twitter.
J.R. Dorkin.
At J.R. Dorkin on Twitter and joshuadorkin.com.
And of course, we did not talk a lot about real estate investing today, but Josh and I did write a real estate book and it's called How to Invest in Real Estate.
It's a great book.
It is a great book. So you can pick that up wherever books are sold, including biggerpockets.com/store. It is meant to be the book. We actually really call it Start Here.
Yeah.
Because it was meant to be the book that people start with.
Yep.
So if you're starting with real estate, you're not exactly sure what niche to go into.
Should relaunch it as Start Here and see.
We could relaunch it and see how that does. You heard it here today. Start Here. You can buy it for $29.99. No, I think it's cheaper than that.
It's cheaper than that.
Yeah, it's much cheaper than that. It's a good book. All right, David Green, I'll let you take us out the way you usually do.
Thank you very much. This is David for Brandon, the Ocean Frolicker Turner, and Josh, the Godfather Dorkin.
Ooh.
Signing off.
You're listening to Bigger Pockets Radio, simplifying real estate for investors large and small. If you're here looking to learn about real estate investing without all the hype, you're in the right place. Be sure to join the millions of others who have benefited from BiggerPockets.com, your home for real estate investing online.
The market is changing and finding your way can be tricky. Rates shift, headlines whirl, but your goal hasn't changed. You want financial freedom. And the best investors know it's not about timing the market, it's about time in the market. If you're ready to get into the real estate investing game or take your game to the next level, finding an investor-friendly agent is your next step. With BiggerPockets Agent Finder, you can find the right agent in minutes. Just head to biggerpockets.com/deals and enter a few details about what and where you want to buy, and bam! Instantly match with an investor-friendly agent who fits the bill. These local market experts can help you navigate the neighborhoods, analyze the numbers, and take action with confidence once and for all. This free resource is only available at biggerpockets.com/deals. Get an agent, get the deal, and get closer to financial freedom at biggerpockets.com/deals. That's biggerpockets.com/deals to find your investor-friendly agent today.
The content of this podcast is for informational purposes only.
Past performance is not indicative of future results, and all hosts and participant opinions are their own.
Investment in any asset, real estate included, involves risk. Use your best judgment and consult with qualified advisors before investing. Only risk capital you can afford to lose.
Bigger Pockets LLC disclaims all liability for direct, indirect, consequential, or other damages arising from reliance upon information presented in this podcast.